I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into another episode of the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer, Frank Curry, and we come at you every Monday and Friday on WGR550.com. And we're finally back to being every Monday and Friday. We're finally back to the normal schedule, Frank.
Are we?
It took a couple of weeks. We're finally back.
Yeah.
Because last week we had the Canadiens game, so I couldn't do last week Friday.
There was that combined with the holidays.
Thanksgiving, and then before that, there was something else going on.
We were able to do the podcast Monday.
Yeah, so things happened.
Yeah.
Things happened. It is what it is. But now we're back to our normal schedule and our normal paid programming. That's an entirely different thing.
Derek, if you're getting paid for this, I got to talk to someone.
It's fair. So, Frank.
Yeah.
The streak is over.
Yes.
They lose 5-4 at the hands of Tampa Bay.
Yep.
And I drew three major conclusions out of this game.
Let's see here. The refs was bad. Officiating was bad. I'm not disappointed. And now let's see if they can bounce back.
One out of three there. Because my mind thinks differently sometimes.
I know it does.
My first thought was, all right, let's see how you bounce back.
Oh, so I got that one right.
Yeah, you got that one right.
Okay.
I'm interested to see what happens now. I mean, this team has faced plenty of adversity, so I think they're really going to be fine. My thing is, how are you going to do with your defensive core? I'm expecting Lawrence Pilot to play tonight against the Panthers because Matt Tennyson got called up probably to be the Lawrence Pilot. So, where, in case a defenseman gets injured in warm-ups, Tennyson plays, dear God.
So, Scandell is on IR now.
Scandell is on IR.
McCabe got hurt last night as well.
Probably day-to-day.
So, yeah, I would expect Pilot's going to be in the lineup, too.
Yes, he'll probably be in there, and it's going to be interesting
Assuming that all that happens, I would expect the D-core is going to look like Dahlin is going to be on the first pair of Ristolainen.
Yeah, probably Dahlin.
Bogosian is going to be with Beaulieu, and Pilot's going to be with Nelson. That's what I expect.
I would honestly debate.
I'd like to see Pilot with Bogosian, but I think Beaulieu has been playing pretty well.
He has.
Where I think he deserves at least the second pairing minutes tonight.
And you better bet they're probably going to jumble this thing up. You know, it's going to happen.
But think about this then. With all that happening, Dahlin first pairing with Ristolainen, does he get the most minutes tonight?
He did throughout pretty much a large part of that game, if not for the fact that the Sabres had to be in the penalty kill so much.
Yeah, Ristolainen ended up having to play half the game because of it.
Yeah, and also McCabe was out.
Yeah.
So Dahlin got his first taste of the penalty kill in the NHL.
In the San Jose game, I think it was Bogosian who led the team in ice time, and Dahlin was second, I believe.
Yes. Now, that was my first thought was, okay, can you bounce back from this? How are you guys going to respond? You've lost for the first time since November, 4th, 7th, something like that?
Sure.
It's been 11 games before you had to suffer this fate. And you played well.
Yeah.
They kept up. In certain aspects.
I thought they kept up.
They kept up, but you could have put more shots on a very shaky Louis Domingue.
Sure.
Who was bad. Yes, the refs were bad. Domingue did his best to make sure it was still a game. My second thought actually was this. I really high-key hate Tampa Bay. Now that this matters again, I don't like them.
I used to shrug my shoulders and go, okay, Tampa, go get this Cora Cup, you know? There's a lot of likable players there. No, there's not.
I mean, there is.
Stamkos is a butthole sometimes. And Cedric Paquette is pretty much at the territory of, let's see. I'm thinking of guys that,
he's a pain in the ass.
Alex Burrows. He's Alex Burrows' territory.
He's a pain
Cedric
in the ass.
Cedric Paquette is Alex Burrows.
Yeah.
Someone go bite his finger.
He's
not advocating for that, by the way.
He's a pain in the ass kind of player. That's exactly what he is.
And it's not just him, though.
He did what...
Have you noticed every Lightning game over the last 4 years or so, there's at least... Well, not every Lightning game, but every year, there's at least one Lightning game that ends up in a total disaster, that ends up in a brawl fest?
Yeah. At least somewhat.
At least one game every year between these two teams that it happens. And it almost always happens in Tampa. I'm pretty much in hate mode with the Lightning now.
Well, you know what? That's a good thing.
It is.
Especially with the Sabres and Lightning being so close in the standings.
Like, if Toronto takes first in the division, this is a playoff series.
Yeah. And you know what? I welcome it.
I don't because of the fact that the Sabres haven't done
particularly
well against this team without Vasilevsky.
You don't because Tampa in the playoffs is dangerous and you probably don't stand a chance. But you should because you want to see what this team is made of.
Yes.
Against the top echelon. If they're going to become one of those top echelon kind of teams, they got to beat them. They're 1-1 against Tampa this year. They split so far.
The thing is that we haven't seen Andrei Vasilevsky yet.
This is true. This is true. But Vasilevsky has also shown that he can slow down. Tampa rode him big time last year, and he slowed down by the time the playoffs came around, where, yes, the first two series were a breeze because the team was so good in front of him, but as soon as Washington put even the slightest bit of some pressure on Vasilevsky, he faltered. Buffalo is a team that can do that, and if Tampa doesn't utilize Vasilevsky right going into the playoffs, you have a shot.
I mean, I can understand why they did it, by the way. Demean is terrible.
That's true, you too.
He's not good.
They really didn't have
any good backup options. He was really bad last night.
They don't have bad, yeah.
And they won despite him because they could score goals at will.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you wonder, how the hell did they keep it to only one goal the last time they faced Tampa? How did that happen? Unsolved mysteries. The third thing, though, was this, Frank. The pressure's off.
Yeah.
There was this whole thing about a win streak.
Now it's over.
And could we keep it going? And could we make sure that, you know, we broke the franchise record, we matched the franchise record, everything like that. Now it's over. Now you just get to play hockey again. I mean, yeah, I don't think the players are thinking about it that much, but the pressure, in the most part, is off. You're going to lose games in hockey. It's an 82-game season. It's just going to happen.
Yep.
We weren't going to take 63 wins in this one. But what I did see is that the biggest takeaway in all of this, the third takeaway, the biggest one, the streak in the Sabres helped reignite hockey in Buffalo. They can finish a wild card team, and you want to know what's going to happen? The hype is cranked up to 11 still.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing that I'm really excited about is, you know, the pressure's off, but the hype is here.
And now, as long as the team keeps it going, the hype is going to stay, and it's going to get bigger.
Exactly.
I was at the San Jose game on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
That was the best atmosphere I've ever been in at a Sabres game since the conference final teams.
And I was at the Montreal game, and that one was wacky.
It was,
you know,
wacky.
How they score in overtime to end that one.
Yeah.
Like, it almost seems like each night it's getting more and more unreal, the atmosphere.
They seem to have, this winning streak has slowly but surely brought back the fan base.
And it's not even necessarily the winning streak, Frank. When was the last time they put up a clunker? Out west against Vegas?
San Jose.
Or San Jose?
San Jose game. They're like 13-3-2 since the San Jose game.
And even in those losses,
they're close.
They've played well.
Yeah.
Hell, the Ottawa loss and the Rangers loss, they were the superior team the entire game.
But let's be real, though. Before the winning streak started,
they were still in a wild card spot.
They were still in a wild card spot, but they were still hovering around 500. And people were still wondering whether this team was for real or not. Whether it's, okay, do we buy in? We thought this team's really good. They're playing well. But I'm talking about the fan base in general. Because after what happened last year, you know that this fan base was divided where people didn't want anything to do with the team anymore. Or they were like, I can still get on board because we get, you know, number one pick, Rasmus Dahlin, things like that. And the people who just didn't want to do anything else with the team, they were thinking they got to earn our trust back. And that trust is slowly being earned back by the winning streak. That's what it did. And it shows with how the atmosphere is in the arena. People are coming to games again. People want to go to games again. Ticket prices are going up. And no matter who they play, it's going to be if this team keeps it up, no matter who they play, it's going to be a tough sell. It's going to be a tough get, I should say, for a ticket. If you want to go to the game, you're going to have to spend some money now to do it. You're not just going to go and spend, you know, $20 on tickets. Now you got to spend like 80. And I'm still talking 300 levels.
Last year we were talking about, and we've gotten tickets for like $6 last year.
Yeah. That's not happening anymore.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you're going to have to shell out money now to make it to games. Yeah. Not just in the playoffs, but the regular season.
The winning streak slowly brought back the fan base. The ones that didn't trust the team because they hadn't proven anything. Haven't proven that they were taking that next step or that they should invest. The winning streak brought that back.
And again,
and people are now invested in this team.
And again, it's one of those things, though, where it is what it is.
Yeah.
And people could stay away because the last 5 years, they were truly dreadful.
Yeah.
Few and far between are the people that watched every single Sabres game in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
What I don't want to see is anyone saying something about, oh, here come all the Sabres bandwagon fans again. I'm sorry, but you should just be moving over and giving them a seat because the last 5 years, the atmosphere in the arena was dreadful.
Terrible.
Yeah. So guess what? You need bandwagon fans in order for the place to get loud.
I welcome the bandwagoners.
You need people that don't know what they're seeing day in and day out because, you know what that does? One, it puts a butt in the seat.
Yeah.
And two, it puts an excited person in the seat.
Yeah.
And three, therefore, it causes the arena to go crazy and loud and fun. And what is it back in 06, 07?
Yep.
So suck on that, salty person that decides he hates bandwagoners. Name me a winning fan base that doesn't have them.
Name me any fan base.
Any fan base that doesn't have them, please. I'll wait. I have all the time in the world. Actually, no, I don't. But I will take all the time that I need to do all my other stuff you go ahead and try to think about what fan base has no bandwagon fans. And then there you go. Oh, hey, look at that. I finished all my work and you still haven't thought of any bandwagon fans.
It's like that. It's like the meme of the guy sitting at a table with a cup of coffee and you got the sign in front of it and it'll say, every fan base has bandwagon fans. Change my mind.
You can't.
That's what you are right now. You're that guy sitting in the chair holding a cup. At least for you, you'd be holding a bottle of Dr. Pepper.
Dude, I could drink a mug of something.
Find a mug of Dr. Pepper. But that would be you.
Give me money, Dr. Pepper. Yeah, no.
Actually,
but
no.
Again,
give him Dr. Pepper.
I mean, I could just use the money to get it.
Or you could just get it for free.
That's true. Yes, give me pop.
Yes.
Or give me not death, because then I don't get to sit at that desk with that mug. Get me a mug.
Okay.
Let's start there.
Okay.
But the Sabres really are an impressive group, because the last time they put up a clunker was at the beginning of the season, halfway through a Western road trip, that kind of sparked the team to go, okay, we need to do something different.
As I said, they're like 13-3-2 or something like that. They've won 13 games, 10 of them in a row.
Also just an unconscious pace. The thing that I realized, though, was that this team was already hitting that. Because what they do
we sensed that they were going to find their strides based on how they were playing, even putting up the clunkers because of how they responded afterwards. I think they played LA right after.
No.
Was it?
It was the game that I bought in and knew that something was different. Anaheim.
That's right.
They fall 2-0. They looked like the better team. I'm like, they're not losing this. Are you kidding? They're all over the Ducks. All they have to do is just keep playing hockey.
Yeah.
And what did they do? Stormed right back. And I'm like, they didn't duck down anymore. They didn't cower and just try to get the game over with. All right, I'm in. That's what that was. Like some Thursday night game is playing at the same time, and I'm like, well, I don't care about that right now. Get out of here.
But it was L.A. where they had that rebound.
Mm-hmm.
But it was afterwards, yeah, for you. Yeah, it was after that. It was after the L.A. game. And then Skinner had the hat trick that game and against L.A., and then, yeah.
Yeah.
Very next night was Anaheim.
Oh, that's right. It was in that order.
Yeah.
But, again, it just showed me, all right, well, this is a little different this time.
All right, I'm in. That's like, where you were.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. This is different. They bounce back and beat a team that many people thought would be good at the beginning of the season. Oh, my God, they are trash, the Kings.
Yeah.
But then they go ahead and they fall behind against Anaheim, and you're thinking to yourself, wait, how the hell is this happening? They're just, like, it's not even that Hutton got beat on bad shots. It's just the Ducks have managed to capitalize on some chances, and Josh Gibson's doing his best impression of a brick wall. But they're still the better team. Let's see if they can just keep playing hockey. And then they did. And that's when I was like, okay, let's go. I'm here. I'm here for it. I like it. Then the Vancouver game, I'm like, fans, you're leaving, and that's not a good idea. I know that they're down with 3.5 minutes left by 2 goals, but they could still do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did.
Yeah.
Then they had to kill a penalty in overtime. And they won
it. They did. Then they won in a shootout. And the streak started. And here we are.
This team isn't without drama in pretty much any game.
Yeah.
They're
making life stressful for fans.
They're what? 3 games where you're just like, okay, never mind. Well, 4 if you count the 9-2. That was just in the other direction.
Yeah.
The strangest thing is, outside of that game, they haven't really won by 2 goals that often this year. Strange? Yes.
Their multi-goal wins, they have...
The Vegas game at home.
They have 7. 7 out of their... How many? 7 out of their 17 wins are multi-goal games. That's not bad.
And only one of those wins, by the way, came on the winning streak. 9 of their 10 games in the winning streak were 1 goal.
Yeah. Philly game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the Ottawa 9-2. Anaheim was 4-2. LA was 5-1. And really everything else was early. All their first few wins early in the year were multi-goal wins.
Yes.
Because they had Arizona,
mm-hmm.
Vegas at home, and then the Rangers.
Yep. That's right, they beat the Rangers early in the season, too.
First win of the year.
Oh, yeah, it was the second game of the year.
Yep.
Because we're like, hey, can they bounce back after whatever they did against
after
Boston?
Remember,
which you like, and I were like, they're not this bad. Calm down, everyone.
Yeah. And then they won. And
yeah, I think that there's something here. There's still a very competent and talented team. and you saw it against Tampa Bay. Was it their best game? No. Did they stick around this time instead of holding on for dear life like the last time they faced Tampa? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
They traded chances in the third period before Paquette got the goal.
Yeah. You saw the strength of the Lightning. No matter what happens with that game, Tampa's strength. You saw that.
They score goals.
And now, going forward, what the players take away from that game is we kept up with one of the best teams in the league, with one of the teams that's favored to win the Stanley Cup this year.
That might have an all-star roster.
Yeah. Their entire roster could just be an all-star team.
Like, isn't the all-star team 9 players now, right? For each division?
Yes.
All right. Stamkos, Kucherov, Point, McDonough, Hedman, Vasilevsky went healthy. That's 6 right there.
Yeah.
Even in the old format, like if it was East versus West, you just put up a first line of Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Like if there was fan voting, remember how the Sabres had 5 of the 6 mm-hmm. for starters?
Mm-hmm.
That would be the Lightning.
Yep.
Stamkos, Kucherov, Point, Hedman, McDonough, Vasilevsky.
Yep.
6 of 6.
Bam.
If it was hosted in Tampa, just be like, all right, well, that happened.
Yeah. But they
so you went shot for shot, chance for chance. Not shot for shot and chance for chance,
yeah,
more
no,
so,
Tampa
but you still hung around.
You hung around
and
kept
the lead
up. Yeah,
several
they
times.
They had a couple leads that game. They kept up.
5 lead changes.
Yeah.
Lead changes.
That's a great game. They kept up. That's a confidence booster right there. If they know that they can keep up with the best in the league, they have Florida tonight. Let's see if they rebound. Pilot's playing. I would assume he's playing. He's going to make his NHL debut. Olmark's likely going to start. Let's see how they rebound. If they dominate, they should dominate this game. I think they can. I think they should. The biggest thing, though, Florida is another team that they could go shot for shot with. Florida can score goals.
Florida's got talent.
Florida's biggest problem has been goaltending all year. If they can find a way to exploit that.
I swear to God, if Luongo's back for this game.
He's not. He's out. Reimer's starting.
Okay, he's starting?
Likely,
okay.
I think it should be Reimer starting.
Because I read the report earlier this week that Luongo might return this weekend, and I'm like, oh, the Sabres faced them this weekend.
Yeah, I think he's still dealing with the knee injury.
Well, if he's going to be back this weekend, I'm going to guess that might be like a Saturday or Sunday sort of thing. But Friday is, for some people, known as a weekend.
Yeah.
And Luongo is a Saber killer.
But they rebound against Florida. This could be another one of those like 4-3 kind of games. I have a feeling it might go that way tonight.
Allmark's going to start a not Saturday game for the first time this year.
Yeah. Nashville, Monday.
Hang on.
Maybe a second.
Might be a second. You're right.
But
it was more hyperbole, but still my point.
Yeah, Florida tonight. Nashville, Monday. Toronto, Tuesday. Let's see how they play in these next 3 games. And see what the rebound is.
I'm excited to see what they can do against Toronto.
I'm excited as well. Because Toronto's now got Matthews back. And
I was talking more about chance generation and going shot for shot for them. I'm
right,
not
and,
excited
and,
having
but it
one
helps
of the
that
best
they
goal
have
scorers
back.
Back.
Right, they have Matthews back, which will help them. And we can see what Buffalo is going to, how they're going to be against that kind of team.
I know. I just don't feel like dealing with it.
You have to at some point.
I know.
You have to.
I know.
You also just said you'd rather face Toronto in a playoff series than Tampa.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong, but that means you got to face them.
I know. I just don't want to hear the whole Austin Matthews better than Jack Eichel crap right now. Because here's the thing. One just scores goals. A lot of goals. Not really known as an adept passer. You know, he's not an elite playmaker in this league. He just scores goals.
they only do that because Matthews is on a really good team right now.
No, they only do that because Matthews is in Toronto, and Toronto media is kind of crazy.
I mean, that too, yeah. Okay.
Jack Eichel is one of the elite playmakers of this game. He picked up another two assists last night. Yeah. Yawn.
Yeah.
Another day from Jack.
Now, So it's funny how we're talking about Toronto because I do want to talk about them.
My thing is with Toronto, they've been decent defensively this year.
Not the team. Nylander.
We're what, 2 days?
Tomorrow.
Actually, today and tomorrow.
It's about 36 hours because it's tomorrow at 5.
Yeah, today and tomorrow.
Yeah. Before.
What is the latest on Willie? Last I knew was there was something about an offer for 6.9.
Nice.
Have some decorum, Francis.
No.
Says the guy who said sniff the glue on the last podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't know. That's the thing. We really don't know. Any information that has been reported over the course of this whole holdout is pretty much it. Nylander wants a lot of money. He wants probably Draisaitl contract money because he's afraid of being traded. So he wants to get overpaid massively so that other teams look at the contract and think, I don't want that. I think that's where he's at. He's still at. It sounds like he's not budging.
And the fact that he's not budging kind of makes things easy, doesn't it?
The Leafs at the same time seem like they don't want to give him what other players in his category have kind of been getting. So when I talk a category, I'm looking at his draft class. You have Reinhardt. You have Aaronek. Defenseman doesn't count. Aaronek Blad, he got over $7 million. Okay, he's a defenseman. Reinhardt got a bridge deal. Draisaitl got that breaking everything. And that's what Nylander wants. You look at guys like Nikolaj Ehlers, who got $6 million over like 6-7 years. David Pastrnak got about over 6.6.
Which was underpaid for him.
Yes, which was looked at as underpaid.
Like criminally underpaid. Congrats, Boston. I hate you.
It seems Toronto's not even offering Ehlers' contract.
You know what? I think they made their decision then. When Tavares signed, the immediate question was, what are you going to do with Nylander, Matthews, and Marner? Who's leaving?
I said...
The decision
has
been made not just by the team, but by the player. Nylander has made this painfully easy for them.
That's the thing. I think Nylander...
If he doesn't play for the whole year, he's not going to be paid by this team, and he's going to be gone.
Well, that's the thing. I think he wants to be in Toronto.
Wants to be in Toronto, he would take some sort of a pay cut and wouldn't think that he's worth $7 million freaking dollars a year.
But if you're getting paid less than Nikolaj Ehlers, who you look at the production, Nylander has been better.
Yeah.
Production-wise. So he should at least be getting that. If Toronto offered somewhere in between Pastrnak and Ehlers' contract, I think Nylander takes it.
That's true, but here's the thing about contract negotiations.
However, I remember what I said. Nylander is afraid of being traded out of Toronto because he doesn't want to leave. He knows about Matthews and Marner. He knows that those two are going to be huge. Matthews, there's a legit chance Matthews might get the same or more than Tavares got. No one knows what Marner's going to get. Really, no one knows. Because he's likely going to get more than Pastrnak. There's a legit chance he might get similar to Draisaitl. There's a legit possibility of that, especially with the season he's having right now.
At least Marner had more than 1 year's worth of production when he got that deal.
Yeah.
Looking at you there, Shirelli.
But I see where Nylander is coming from.
Oh, I do too. It just...
I think there's a little bit of fault on both sides.
There is. And you know what? That's the thing about contract negotiations. Remember when Ryan Smith, the longtime Oilers captain, Captain Canada himself, got traded?
Yeah.
They were off by $100,000.
Yeah.
By their negotiations when things fell apart.
This
and Edmonton started to focus on trading instead of finishing out the deal.
This feels like they're off by, they could be off by as much as $3 million.
But as little as possibly from what I read in reports, $300,000.
Yes.
Now, Nylander, I say Nylander has made the decision for them. There's another detail about Toronto that that makes me happy, by the way.
I think that
Nylander problem can guarantee me something. You want to know what that guarantee is?
Hmm.
Jeff Skinner staying here.
Think
about it, right? The money you need to pay Marner, the money you need to pay Matthews, the money you're tied up into Tavares.
Yeah.
You need defensemen on that team.
Yeah.
Jeff Skinner's not going to be in their plans.
Yeah.
So what's the closest team toward his home?
Ah, I see what you're saying.
The team he's on and having success playing on.
Because he's from the Toronto area. I see what you're saying.
Makes me feel nice and warm and fuzzy about Jeff Skinner.
I think what that does, it increases his chances of it. I don't think he guarantees it just yet because we don't know.
He's not going to Toronto?
Right. That's one place. That's one place.
Okay.
I know. But
what other places are closer to Toronto? Ottawa? You think he's going to go to Ottawa?
Hear me out on this.
Nobody's going to Ottawa.
Hear me out. Hear me out. We don't know how negotiations are going to go with Skinner because they haven't started yet. They have not started. Botro has said likely after the holidays.
Yeah.
So after Christmas or right in January, I'm expecting contract negotiations to start for Skinner. Great. Want that to happen right away. However, we don't know how they're going to go. We don't know how much money Skinner wants. We don't know how much Botro is going to offer. We don't know how much more in the middle they can meet or will they meet. We don't know. So I'm not going to assume anything just yet. However,
makes me feel warm and fuzzier. How's
it
that?
It makes you feel better. Yes, I agree. That's what I will agree
with.
The
point
makes you feel better.
It needed to be brought up. How's that?
Sure.
It needed to be brought up because it makes me feel better about the fact that we actually do have a legitimate shot at signing this guy long term because it's close to home. That was one of the reasons he waived the no trade clause to come here.
Yeah.
And the young core, which is performing rather admirably.
Yep.
Oh, and that Jack Eichel guy that he plays with on a center.
Yeah.
You know, like those are the reasons he waived the clause.
Yeah.
And those are the reasons I think that he signs long term because all of those things have broken the right way.
Yeah. I'm with you.
And then because his hometown team probably wouldn't have him in the future plans.
Yeah.
That's the one worry that has crumbled.
I think if Toronto...
Hate to sound arrogant. Maybe it's the 10-game winning streak talking. Maybe it's Jeff Skinner being second in the league in goals.
I really think that if
By the way, he hasn't scored in two games. Bust.
Yeah. I really... Oh, one game.
That's right, yeah.
He scored the OT winner.
Scored the OT winner against San Jose.
Goal. I saw that live. It was great. Okay, but...
He hasn't scored in one game. Bust.
But I think if Skinner was in Toronto's long-term plans, they would have traded for him in the offseason.
Exactly.
Because they have more to offer to Carolina.
To be fair, they had a contract dispute. Though they didn't have a contract dispute with Nylander at the time.
That's true.
Hell, Nylander might have been the piece exclusively to get Skinner.
Maybe. There was a lot of talk of out of Toronto offering Nylander for Skinner and Justin Falk.
Yeah. So, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Thank you, by the way.
That didn't happen. But,
oh, God, Toronto circle. With Justin Falk would have been terrifying.
Circle back to the Nylander thing. I subscribe to Sportsnet's YouTube channel because they put up a lot of clips from like their shows and stuff. A show I really like is Tim and Sid.
Yes.
Great show. They had Friedman on a couple of days ago. They had Nick Kypreos on a couple of days ago as well. And both of them made it sound like no matter what happens with this, Nylander will not be a Leaf after the season. He could sign a contract at the very last minute, and it could be a bridge deal. It could be a long-term deal.
It could be a one-year deal.
It could be a one-year deal, too. Well, it'll likely...
But what they said was also my point.
But I think what this holdout and what these negotiations have shown, the relationship between the Leafs and Nylander, broken.
And that's why I said that the choice was made already.
Yeah.
Nylander made their choice for them.
I don't think Nylander made the choice. I think Toronto did.
They might have. They might have hoped to try to have their
take. I think Toronto did by what it sounds like, consistently lowballing Nylander and maybe even refusing to meet in the middle.
And yes.
And I think because they went such hard-nosed at the negotiations, eventually it broke Nylander, their talks right now, as far as maybe like a day or two ago, may just be, listen, we're not gonna get this done. You might as well just trade me. If you do that, you know, that might be the best way to go. It could be something like that.
And again, I don't blame them for trying to lowball. That's them having their cake and trying to eat it too.
I don't think Nylander made the decision for them. I think the Leafs made the decision themselves.
They're trying to still be a team trying to fit everything under the cap.
Yeah.
They're trying to have their cake and eat it too, which I don't blame them. That's what you're supposed to do.
I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to give themselves enough cap, not only to sign Matthews and Marner, but there's other players that they got to sign too.
Kasperi Kapanen being one of them.
Yep.
Who took the Nylander spot and is running just fine with it.
And I don't know how many years Morgan Riley has left on his current contract, which is similar to Ristolainen's. Right now, I want to take a look. I know Freddie Anderson's contract is up in after this year, 2 years.
Is John Tavares the hero we needed? My column.
You have, because right now you have Kadri up in 4 years. That's including this year.
Dang, he's got 4 years?
Yeah. Hyman's up after this year, 2 years.
Hyman's not a huge cap hit, though.
Yeah, and so is Connor Brown. And then they got that Zaitsev contract.
Yeah, that's going to be a regret.
The big thing, though, is they're out of Gardner and Hainsey after this year.
What's their cap hits each?
Gardner's about four and Hainsey's three.
So that's $7 million freed up for them.
Yeah.
But that $7 million probably straight to Marner's bank account.
That's the thing. Like, they have the cap space to do it because they have $30 million next offseason.
All right, Matthews gets 12.
Probably. Marner legit might get eight. There's 20 going to two players.
You need to do something about that
defense.
And
there was a lot of talk of Patrick Marleau may not even see the end of his contract with the Leafs anyway, and that's over $6 million right there. I wouldn't be shocked if the Leafs like traded him in the offseason.
Right.
But Maybe that was it. Maybe Tavares signing is the nail in the coffin to break that young core, at least one person off of it.
Yeah, because if they have the cap space to do this with Nylander, why would they lowball
him? Because at the same time, too, they still got to build the rest of the team.
Yeah.
And they probably feel like a lot of their prospects aren't ready to come up. If they felt like they could fill out the roster with their young players that they have now, guys like, I think they would have signed Nylander already.
Yeah.
And then the talks of off seasons would be, who's Josh Levo getting traded to? Are they going to keep Kapanen? Are they going to keep Andreas Johnsson? Are they going to keep Tyler Ennis after this year? He's at $650K right now, and he's been great for them. Are they going to keep, you know, what's up? How much is Dermott going to get in 2 years? You know, things like that. It might Morgan Riley, by the way, 3 years after this year at $5 million. So there's got to be something in that they don't have confidence in a lot of their young players, at least the ones who aren't who are in the AHL right now or in juniors, that they feel like they may need to add through free agency or trades. And guess what? Got to overpay in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's something there in that sense, that that's why they want to get Nylander on a really good team-friendly contract so they can have that flexibility.
And Nylander's just not having any of it.
Yeah. Maybe there's something in the organization where they want to make sure they have a certain amount of cap space every year.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing about the Leafs, they're not a budget team. They can spend as much money as they want.
I mean, everyone's got a cap.
Well, there's a cap. I mean, at least for the cap, but in terms of actual dollars.
Yeah.
Because they're like the richest team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. But the way things are going, sure as hell seems like no matter what happens in these next day and a half, William Nylander is not going to be a Leaf by next season.
Oh, yeah. The disrespect
where
is there.
Where he signs is probably wherever he gets traded to.
Yep. Team that has the cap space to do it.
And that, yeah, pretty much. Mm. See what happens.
I swear, if a team offers you Toronto this year.
That would be hilarious.
Backflips. I'm doing backflips.
Yeah. Are you going to do backflips?
I'll try to do backflips.
Yeah.
I'll use a trampoline.
Okay.
So I could actually succeed and not die.
I like it.
And then I still also might die.
Yeah, I like it.
But backflips. It would be interesting there. You know what else is interesting?
What?
How much football seems to hate my life. Can you explain to me how the hell the Saints get 10 points and 170 yards against Dallas? Other than football hates me for not liking Dallas. The Cowboys are at 7-5.
I know.
The Cowboys are going to win the NFC East.
At 9-7.
The Cowboys are garbage. They are not good. Jerry Jones could go to hell. And yet here I am watching them beat the stupid Saints after the Sabres lost. I'm just like, all right, my night's ruined. I'm just going to go cry. Not really, but still. It's ridiculous. Dallas is not good.
It seems like with Dallas, like their defense has been good all year. Let's be real. Jalen Smith and Lane Vander Esch are a great linebacking duo.
Jalen Smith should have got ejected last night.
Yeah, but they've been great all year. I'm talking like just all year.
I know.
That Amari Cooper trade's looking better and better each week.
Well, they give up a first. It better look better for them.
And it has been. They have a legit number. They have a number one receiver now for Dak. Ezekiel Elliott's eating every week.
That's one of the most annoying things in the world.
I know. It's funny, though. But he's been great.
As someone who likes food, I don't like being tied to Ezekiel Elliott.
Well, you could be tied to Todd Gurley, then, because he eats every week.
But he doesn't do that stupid nom, 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 nom thing.
Yeah.
Get here, Zeke.
But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Like, they have a number one running back. They have a number one receiver. And it's been working for them. They're 4-1 their last five games. They don't seem that good. But then again, if Philly was, you know, the defending champs, Dallas would won. They'd be 6-6 right now because Philly would have beaten them. And two, Philly would be winning the division right now. And then we'd be talking about, and then the talk about Dallas would be not winning the division, but could they get the wild card, a wild card spot?
Woof.
But
thank you, NFC East, for continuing to suck. And now I have to see arrogant Cowboy fans be a thing.
And don't worry, they'll lose in the wild card round. It's Dallas. They don't win in the playoffs.
Also, probably because you're drawing Carolina or Seattle.
Yeah, probably. Well, Carolina's been trending downwards.
They'd probably still draw Seattle.
If we go by play.
Or the Vikings.
Actually, I want to see right now. They'd be playing Minnesota. I'm looking at, based on the standings right now.
Minnesota could lose to them.
Probably. Based on the standings right now.
So then have fun. You get to deal with the Rams or the Bears. Or so, the Saints again, and they're not going to do the same thing twice.
Because this time it's in New Orleans. Based on the standings right now in the NFC, obviously the Rams and Saints have the bye. It'd be Bears, Redskins.
The Redskins are in a wild card spot?
Over Seattle and Carolina.
Okay, Seahawks, do something about this.
Because they're Washington is 6-3 in the conference. Well, Seattle's 5-3, and Carolina's 4-4.
Okay, Seattle, do something about this.
Nothing so we'd against see Washington versus Chicago.
Nothing against Colt McCoy, though, but I don't expect to see Washington there for much longer.
Yeah.
Unless they somehow win the division, and Dallas gets the wild card, and they have to face the Bears, and Dak's going to die at that point.
If we do the AFC, KC, New England, and New England are the
1-2.
1-2. Houston at 8-3 plays Baltimore.
By the way, nice job, Pittsburgh, blowing your chance at a first round bye by losing to Denver.
Yeah.
Because didn't they have the inside edge on that? Record wise?
Yes, because of the tie.
And there you go, shooting yourself in the foot there.
Yep.
You can't
Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh would be the 4 seed right now playing the Chargers. They still
they fell from 2-4?
Yeah.
Ooh. Nice job.
Yeah, Houston's a 3. They're 8-3. New England, that's a tiebreaker over Houston because they beat them.
Good to know that we started something special for the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Thanks, Peterman.
Yeah. Well, at least Peterman's a hero somewhere.
I guess. Speaking of Peterman, he got to try out, he got to work out with Denver.
Good for him.
Does John Elway know what quarterbacks are?
No. Even as a quarterback himself, no. Because he won't draft one.
No, he does. They're usually just bad. Paxton Lynch.
He won't draft a good one.
Probably the biggest one there. And then, you know, they also drafted Brock Osweiler.
We all assumed that somehow he was going to get, like, Baker Mayfield in the draft last year.
Yeah. And then he went number one.
And they went number one. And then Bradley Chubb fell to him. And it's like, okay, I guess. We see. You didn't have to take a quarterback. Plus, they signed Case Keenum.
Well, it was only a 2-year deal.
But still, like, they signed.
So they signed into that knowing that they could still target a quarterback in the next two drafts. So which one's going to be a bust? Next year. We'll find out. Stay tuned. And as for the rookie quarterbacks, by the way, Josh Allen, relatively decent game. I want to see what he can do against Miami, a team that could be exploited.
Yep.
Bring it. Let's see what happens. I'm genuinely thinking that there's a chance that the Sabres. That the Bills can win this game, rip up a winning streak all of a sudden, and
get our hopes up.
And then, no, there's not going to be hopes up. I mean,
oh, you know there's going to be hope.
No,
it's the Bills.
The only thing that's going to get ripped down is the fact that, well,
if the Bills win on Sunday, they're at 5-7.
They're just in
you
the hunt.
You know that there's going to be some hope.
There's going to be some hope by some fans, but this team got way too far behind.
I know.
When you happen to go 0-4 without your starting rookie quarterback, good. How'd that feel?
In my wrist. Against the keyboard.
You know what you just did? You personified what happened to the Bills without Josh Allen.
No, that'd be if I fell off the chair.
Well, you still hurt yourself somehow. Can't explain why, other than the fact that you didn't have Josh Allen.
That's true. I didn't have Josh Allen to move my hand out of the way from the keyboard.
And that is why there should not be much hope in getting to some form of playoff hunt with this team.
I know. We all know.
Also, look at the AFC standings. They're a little jumbled.
Yeah.
Because you have to deal with Indianapolis, which is almost looking like a lock at this point.
Except, you know, they have to overtake Baltimore first.
Baltimore's still there, hanging around.
Baltimore right now is in the last wildcard spot because of conference record.
Since he's spiraling downward because they've got Hugh Jackson. Denver somehow has strung some wins together.
Yeah, two in a row. They beat the Chargers and
Pittsburgh. There's the Chargers who are a lock and a wild card.
Yeah, oh yeah, they're a lock. I mean, let's be real. Let's be real with the Chargers.
So what hope do the Bills have to sneak into anywhere other than 10th in the conference?
We know that.
Top six, get there.
Yeah, I know.
They're not
we
even
know.
Close.
We know.
I'm not saying tank, but I'm saying don't get your hopes up about a playoff spot. We made the In the Hunt graphic again. You know what that means?
Typical Bills.
It's another year.
Chargers still have a chance at the division.
No.
Don't they?
No.
Did they play Kansas City twice already?
Yeah, they lost twice.
Lost both games?
Yes.
Okay. But.
No.
I know it's the over. It's the over. You can't ever go against them.
Not to mention, L.A. has shot themselves in the foot more this year than you could count.
I know. They're 8-3. And now, they don't have
losing
Melvin Gordon.
Them losing to Denver hurt them, too.
Yeah.
The Broncos just inflicting pain.
Yeah.
Yet still not knowing what a quarterback is. With a GM that was an all-time great quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Now the Chargers don't have Melvin Gordon probably till the playoffs.
They'll be fine. Austin
Eckler's really good.
Solid guy.
He's all really right. good.
I think we got to get out of here.
Okay.
But. Yeah, I don't know what I had to say. Oh, yeah, UB. MAC Championship tonight.
MAC Championship tonight, 7 o'clock.
Can they beat Northern Illinois? It's a rhetorical question.
What? They should win. What kind of bowl game is UB going
to
get?
Probably just one that the MAC champion sends to. Because there are tie-ins. There are tie-ins with each conference with the bowl games. And
the highest one, based on the dates.
Look at the bowl projections.
Yeah.
That's how you're going to find out. There's a MAC tie with some sponsors and everything like that, and that's how you get money. If the MAC champion doesn't go to the MAC-sanctioned game, there's probably going to be a bit of a problem. The only reason they wouldn't have, say, for example, would have been if they had one loss on their resume, if they didn't lose to Ohio, if they didn't get crushed by Army, then we'd be talking about something different. We'd be in UCF territory right here.
Right.
But because they lost to Ohio in a bad fashion, they lost to Army in a bad fashion, the scoreboard was not pretty in those games. You're looking at just the MAC Champion Bowl or the MAC's runner-up bowl. That's how it's going to go.
Right now, the Dollar General Bowl, which is the one that I was thinking of as being like, that's the one.
Where's
that? I gotta look at where
it's at.
Yeah, but as of right now, it'd be UB versus Georgia Southern. It's in Mobile.
Okay.
And it's on December 22nd.
Mobile.
That's,
I don't want to think about traveling to Mobile.
That is the latest date that a MAC team has for a bowl game this year, or that they have.
Closest to Christmas, yeah.
Yeah. That would be so. Going by that, UB wins, they'll play Georgia Southern in the Dollar General Bowl, and Northern Illinois will play in the Potato Bowl.
Boise,
yeah.
So it's Mobile, Alabama, or Boise, Idaho.
Pretty much.
Well,
I mean, unless something else happens.
True.
Because the MAC has 7 teams that are bowl eligible.
Yes, but the 1 and 2 are tied to certain bowls. The runner-up and champion?
Yeah.
Generally go to a certain
like
bowl.
Like Toledo's got a bowl game.
Yep.
And you got to think Ohio's going to get a bowl too, because they had a better record than Toledo this year. If Toledo got one, Ohio should get one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it'll probably be those 4 teams getting bowl games out of the MAC.
Mm-hmm.
And the other 3 getting left out. Sorry, I don't remember which teams they were.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
But we'll see what happens there. All right. Thanks for listening to Leftovers Podcast here on WGR550.com. Derek Kramer.
Frank Arcuri.
And, well, let's see what happens here. Sabres, Bills, Bulls, everything of the sorts. Well, just kick back and enjoy it. Now we don't have to worry about some franchise-breaking streak unless they start another one, right?
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.